Island. He was a gold to every ball there.
Outstanding game, 2 points from Ace
Hofer. Miss Pace. The office there, you know, she popped up with a very much needed point, which Kenny really needs it.
This is Come On Kind with Martin Quilty and Anya Fahey.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome once again into the KCLR studios here in Kilkenny for Come On Kind. This is season 6, episode number 14. And we had a hectic, well, I had a hectic weekend last weekend with under 16 finals. Anya's unfortunately unable to be here with us this evening, but the producer will be along a little bit later on. She's actually ticking away in the background here, finding out information for me. And we'll be discussing the All-Ireland Finals that was held at UPMC in Nolan Park over the weekend. Obviously, there was other All-Ireland Finals involving Leinster teams that was taking part. The Under-16 Shield Finals were on Saturday. The Under-16 Cup Finals were on yesterday. It really was a hectic weekend of sport and camogie in general. And anybody who listens to this podcast regularly will hear me waxing lyrical about a certain team in Leinster, and that was Kildare, because they played Laois in the minor Leinster final, if you remember, going back a couple of weeks ago. And I said it's probably the best underage game that I have seen in about 15 years, because it really was that good. And Kildare were also out the weekend playing in the minor B All-Ireland final against Armagh, and they only won the All-Ireland title. And I'm delighted to be joined on the phone line right now by their manager, and that is Rob. And Rob, Audrey is after sending me your surname, and it's gone past me here. Isn't that terrible? Audrey, where are you gone on me? Rob O'Neill. Apologies, Rob. My memory is gone. It's only a Monday and the memory is gone already. How are you, good sir?
I'm very good, Martin. Thanks very much for having me online.
Not at all. I am absolutely delighted to have a chat with you because, as I said, that game in Fenna the last day at the Leinster final that I was able to see live against Laois, it really was a cracking game. It did go to extra time, but the skill level of your girls that day, and I think it was even yourself I was talking to afterwards, and I said, you'll go far now when it comes to the All-Ireland, and I was watching it at the weekend. Rob, they're a fantastic bunch of girls. I mean, truly awesome. But what does it mean for Kildare to actually get this All-Ireland under their belt?
It's a huge achievement, Martin. I was told yesterday that the last time Kildare won anything at this grade was minor C back in 2013. So to win an All-Ireland final and win it with such a good season behind us, and you talked about that Leinster final against Laois as well, which is a superb advertisement for the game of camogie. It means an awful lot to Kildare. The excitement, the energy that it generated is just phenomenal. You know, when you look across and you saw the support that was generated, that was there. I think something like 8 or 9 busloads came from Kildare alone, let alone the supporters across the country. It's after generating a huge amount of energy and huge amount of upsurge in camogie. So it's great. I'm delighted to be involved in it.
Rob, for the county, I mean, you are there in the middle of it as a coach, and I mean, let's be fair, Kildare has had bad publicity, they've had bad press, they've had people talking about them over the last 12 to 15 months, everything that went on last year with the adults team not being able to play in the championship and everything that's going on with county board executives and the whole lot. I mean, that's not easy for yourselves as coaches, and it's not easy for players. So for this to actually happen this year and go out and win the minor B Leinster title and push that on then and win an All-Ireland title, it's great for Kildare itself as a whole to actually have some good news for a change.
Absolutely. Please God, all that is in the past, and they're looking forward to a bright future as well. They're about to kick off again shortly. But you know, the energy that, as I say, has been generated, all I have to do, Martin, is look at the underage, the quantity and quality of underage, all the way down to under 14s and what's been delivered at an underage to see that conveyor belt come through. You know, my brief as a coach you know, 3 years ago was to find and develop young talent, retain them and put them on that conveyor belt into the senior setup. You know, that our senior setup today consists of a significant percentage of my minors over the last 2 years, and hopefully, please God, going forward, that will continue to be the case.
Yeah, well, you're dead right. I mean, a conveyor belt is required, obviously, to keep adult teams in counties taking over, and especially in Kildare. I mean, compared to other counties, it would be classed as a smaller one in terms of the number of clubs and players available to play in the different age groups. And I mean, even over the weekend, it was great to have the under 16 A and B teams compete in a Shield final and a Cup final as well over the weekend. So the talent is there, but I'm just going to hone in on this particular group that you have there at the minute, because I don't know, I think there's something special about them. And if all these players can stick together and progress up along over the next number of years, Kildare has a fighting chance to be in the mix for All-Ireland titles, I reckon, over the next at least possibly 3 to 4 years.
I would 100% agree with you there. You know, we've been working with this particular group for a long time now. We've been feeding them coming through. They are such a real good, tight-knit group. They're remarkable. Their composure, and probably seen in the final there against Armagh, you know, halfway into the first half, Armagh changed things up a bit and somewhat caught us on the hop. We had a chat. We don't panic. We stick to our game plan. We're very strategic, and it shows the level of composure and confidence that these young ladies have when they took the instruction at half time and were able to come out and counteract everything that was thrown at them and turn a 3 point, loss going into half time into a 5 point win, so an 8 point turnaround. It's a testament to them and how composed they are. So, yes, look, they're really good. We've been working a lot with them to kind of hone in on specific talents. You know, working a lot on composure when in possession, decision making, shot selection under pressure. In other words, Martin, you know yourself, doing the basic things right.
And that's it. Camogie is a simple game. Like we've always said, it. Once you do the basic things right, and I suppose it's simple when you say it out loud, you get a ball, you're able to pick it, you put the scores over the bar, you take your chances, you put the ball in the net. It's actually putting that into practice. But it actually goes down to the coaching. And even over my speeches over the weekend, I always thank the coaches, because without them, the likes of yourselves and everybody else going out and doing the training, we can't have teams either at club level or county level. And it's a huge commitment. So obviously the likes of yourself and other coaches enjoy the sport so much that you're doing this, I suppose, for the love of the game.
Oh, absolutely, Martin. I've been playing this game since I was knee high to a grasshopper, as we'd say. I'm actually a Kilkenny man, Martin, myself. So
Well, come on now, you're going to have to give us your lineage then when you're saying something like that to us. Where do you originate from exactly?
Well, I originate from Ballyhale.
Oh, you're not too far away from me, so.
Exactly, yeah. But I would agree 100%, Martin, the love of the game and giving something back, you know. For us, you know, at the start of every season, we did the exact same this year. We sat down with the team and we discussed both individual and team goals. You know, the selectors and I knew the importance of bringing in individuals with the right attributes and aligning their thinking and actions with the team's goal, you know. And you touched on it yourself about coaching. For me, the most important thing in coaching is communication. It's not what you say as much as what they absorb, you know. And I would be a firm believer that only when players feel valued and cared for that they'll be receptive to a coach's guidance and knowledge, you know. While individual talents may enable, you know, a team to win unique games, championships are won by teams that work together, you know, efficiently and effectively and possess that whole strategic intelligence. And that's what we've been working on with this group.
I know you have an appointment to get to as well, so I'm not going to delay you too much, but I have a couple of questions that I would like to get your opinion on. Number one is obviously the new age rules is coming into effect next week, which stops, I suppose, the likes of good minors, good 17, 18 year olds being put onto adult teams and maybe not getting game time and just sitting on a bench and, you know, getting frustrated that they are not able to show their talents. Do you think it's a good idea that the new rules are coming in that players now hone in on their age group exactly as they should be with minors and wait until they're age enough to go to adult? And should we have, like the GAA, a competition in the middle there for, I suppose, middle ground for girls going from a minor age group before they really start senior, so have like an under 20 or an under 21 competition there for them?
I would be a big fan of that, to be honest, Martin. I think having the likes of that buffer between these young ladies going from a minor age group into an adult is crucial to their success, and again, bringing them in line with their peers and then being able to develop in line as well. I would be okay with the rule. I'm not sure how much of an impact it's going to have, how big an impact it's going to have on some of the smaller counties where they probably rely on some of the minor teams to in the past that would have I suppose filled those panels and played significant and important parts in those panels. But, you know, having the likes of a competition or two in that middle ground, in that buffer area, I think is going to bring along their talent along immensely, and will absolutely help the game in the long run.
And I suppose for yourself as an underage coach as well, and you've mentioned it already that a lot of the girls that's at the senior end of things at the minute has been gone through your hands at underage level. Obviously the players that's over the weekend, they've won the All-Ireland, they're moving on now as well. Do you ever see yourself in a couple of years or any aspirations to take on the team when they are in their adult form and maybe go on and get that elusive All-Ireland?
God only knows what the future holds, Martin. I'll be the politician on that one. You know, there is a junior team being set up. Calera are entering a second adult team, a junior team in the Leinster Championship. I believe the date is the 11th of May. We're going to play Louth, and I'm tasked with putting a team together to kind of fulfil that commitment as well. You know, for me, that's crucial again, looking at other ladies that wouldn't have, for whatever reasons, had an opportunity to play for their county, who are jumping at the chance now. And again, it's all down to the success that we're having at the moment. So a lot of these guys want to play for their county. They want to pull on that jersey and they want to give it everything they have, play with pride.
Yeah, well, we're all looking forward to that junior final as well between Kildare and Louth in a couple of weekends' time. But for the time being, Rob, I know you're in a panic to get away, but thank you so much for joining us on Come On Kind, your first time with us. Hopefully it won't be your last time. Congrats to you and everybody involved in Kildare. It really is a good news story. And anyone that has been listening to me, I really have been waxing lyrical about that young team, because I did, after that Leinster final, think that there was something special in them, and definitely more trophies to be won, and they proved me right over the weekend, because it was a cracking game against Armagh and he really deserved that victory. So well done to everybody in Kildare, great to be bringing a good new story, and I look forward to following these girls over my next 3 years as my chairman, as Leinster chairman as well, and hopefully a couple of more titles will be coming back to Kildare.
Yeah. Look, thanks for all the press, Martin, and thanks for your support. That Leinster final against Laois, I know you did sing their praises and you did call it out that there was something special in this and the future was bright for them, and you absolutely nailed it. And I would absolutely agree. You know, it's not the will to win, but how to prepare to win that makes the difference. You know, so watch this space, Martin.
Exactly, Rob O'Neill, the manager of the Kildare minor team. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and we look forward to chatting to you again very soon.
Thanks, Martin. Take care, all.
That was Rob O'Neill there, as I said, the manager of the Kildare under 18 team, and I had to get him on first this evening, because anybody who has really been listening, that Leinster final, I'm still talking about it to anybody who ever said anything, because it really was the best underage game of camogie that I have ever seen in my term in 15 years. And even that trumps all the matches that was over the weekend, which they were brilliant games to be out and watching. They still haven't come close to that game against Laois in Fenagh a couple of months ago that it went to extra time. And I watched their minor B final over the weekend as well. And it was fantastic. Great win. Great news story for Kildare. As I said, they have had a bit of bad press a couple of times. Butcher, look, it happens. And this is a good news story. And well done to everybody involved in Kildare, to Liz O'Donoghue and to Mike Sexton and Joan O'Flynn, who's doing great work as the development officer up there, and to everybody. We really are truly delighted for everyone there. Well, I certainly am anyway, being the new Leinster chairman as well. Right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to, I suppose, focus a little bit on matches coming up this weekend, coming because the senior quarterfinal is going to be on with our girls taking on Westmeath on Saturday. And we'll be chatting to Chapclear in a few moments, so don't go anywhere.
Carlo, Kilkenny, KCLR.
Yeah, well, that is us back. I did say that we were going to have Chapclear on the phone line in a few moments' time. And, well, by the magic of technology, here is Chapclear joining me right now. Chap, how are you this evening?
How are you, Martin?
I am all good, thank you very much. Not much time. I mean, we were talking about a couple of weeks' break since your last league game before the Leinster Championship was going to start. And lo and behold, here we are, the Leinster Championship right upon us, coming up this Saturday, quarterfinal against Westmeath. How has the last couple of weeks gone for yourselves?
Yeah, really good. I suppose after the league, we took a little bit of a break and recharged the batteries and a bit of a reset. And since then, for the last 3 or 4 weeks there, we've trained really, really well. So we're really looking forward to the Leinster Championship. It comes around quick. And as I said to you, we're out next Saturday and we're really looking forward to hopefully putting up a good performance.
I suppose two fixtures to note of the weekend coming, and they are the quarterfinals. You're playing Westmeath. Obviously, Dublin is playing Meath in the other quarterfinal there as well. Can you give us a rundown of how you think that the match is going to go? Have you seen any of Westmeath's league matches or anything from this year?
Yeah, we've been looking at, I suppose, look, Westmeath won their division in the league side of things, and we're very, very impressive winners over Derry. In the final and beat them in the preliminary stage as well. So we've been lucky enough to see a little bit of footage of Westmeath, and you know, they're a very, very strong team. You know, I said they're going to be buzzing on the back of winning their league title as well, and totally deserved. So Westmeath are very, very strong. They've huge work been done up there over the last number of years. So we're going to have to be at full capacity and really, you know, go at it very hard from minute one to try and get something out of that game. And once that's complete, then you know, I think the winners of that match face Wexford in the semi final, and indeed Dublin in the final if you're to continue that journey. So I suppose Westmeath, Wexford, Dublin, they've all been in league finals, so they've all had varied success throughout the league. So you know, we're coming in under the radar a little bit, and as I said to you, we worked really hard over the last number of weeks in particular, and as I said to you, we're excited to see what happens on Saturday.
Yeah, that league final against Derry was something special, I suppose, if you look at it from a Westmeath point of view. And they got off to a great start. Like, everyone were predicting that maybe Derry was going to come out of that division and win it because they were going so well. But Westmeath really blitzed them in the first, I suppose, 9 to 10 minutes with those goals. And we played them a couple of times, especially in Cusick Park, and they've been very hard to beat. So it's not a foregone conclusion, this one, and it's not going to be an easy start either.
No, absolutely. And if you look at the results, I mean, they seem to be, in terms of goals in the few matches we've got this evening, you know, their goal threat is very, very strong. You know, I think they scored over 20 goals in the league campaign element alone. So, I mean, there's an awful lot of firepower up front. And, you know, defensively, they're set up, they're very structured defensively as well. So, I mean, they're a very, very good team. And as I said to you, we're going to have to put up a really good performance to get out of this game with a result. But as I said to you, we've had a nice little break there for the last couple of weeks. The girls are relishing the opportunity to get back into competitive action. And as I said to you, it's, you know, we had a really good victory over Waterford in our last league game. And we're just hoping to continue that momentum and carry it on into the Leinster campaign.
I suppose the Leinster campaign has always been good to Kilkenny. I mean, they've won, I think, the last 4 in a row, possibly going for 5 in a row this year. It's always a good momentum builder going into the All-Ireland series as well, which is going to be starting in a couple of weeks' time. But like you say, you have the likes of Dublin that's there, that's after winning a title. Westmeath is after winning a title. You know, all those teams are coming into this with momentum. But you should have momentum coming as well with, obviously, hopefully, I won't say obviously, that some of your returning players might be back for the start of the championship.
Yeah, I mean, we've a few girls, a few little niggles and knocks, as is to be expected when, you know, we've got a real heavy block of work done over the last number of weeks, and you know, it's been quite attritional in terms of the competitiveness in there, which is great and which is what you want. But yeah, we've some girls come back from injuries as well, which is fantastic. So yeah, it'll be a really interesting Leinster campaign, and as I said to you, we're really looking forward to Saturday, bringing a big performance and then seeing where that takes us. And as I said, the games will come ticking heavy from here on in. You know, there's no real time to grasp for air, because it's literally you move from a Leinster campaign into an Ireland series, and you know, all the heavy training we've done is with this particular block in mind. So as I said, Saturday is the start of the next competition for us, which is the Leinster Championship. It's one we take very seriously, and it's one you know, we want to be very competitive in.
Well, we know what your predecessor thought about having matches every week, and he actually quite enjoyed it. What's your view on it? Because obviously you have three quick matches coming up in Leinster, if you're lucky enough, you know, which hopefully that you will be, with the quarterfinal, semi-final, final, one week after the other. That's three weekends, and like you say, then you're straight into the group stages of the All-Ireland Series. What's your view on it? Would you rather have those matches every week and be building the momentum slowly, or would you like a break in between the Leinster Championship and the start of the All-Ireland Series?
Yeah, it's hard to know, and I suppose, look, from our perspective, we on purpose made sure that in our league campaign that we got as much game time in as many girls as possible, because we knew when the Leinster and the All-Ireland Series comes that you're potentially going to have 9 games in 10 weeks. So if you're going to be able to try and compete for 9 games in 10 weeks, you need a really strong panel. You can't just be reliant on the same 15 or 16 girls every single week. You need strength and depth, and that's what we've tried to work on over the league, and that's what we'll be continuing to make sure over the next couple of weeks, is that that whoever's performing well in training, whoever's putting their hand up, they will be getting their opportunity. And as I said to you, Leinster campaign is unique, it's special, it's knockout, and I'm a massive fan of knockout situation. Leagues are great and all Ireland series are great, but to me, I love the tradition of the knockout, you know, when you're beaten, you're out.
And the cut and thrust of it all.
Competition is something that's very, very special to me.
Yeah, you can't be cut and thrust of knockout. You had that all down through your playing career as well, especially come the Leinster Championship. There was no back doors in it in your day, or, you know, no chance of getting back into it. I suppose, looking at it though, from a point of view, you've been lucky enough with the draw as well this year. Home game this weekend coming, and hopefully after the weekend you will have that home semi-final then as well, which will be against Wexford. How important is it to have home games?
Sure, look, it's fantastic, and as I said to you, we had a couple of home games in the league, which was great as well. But I suppose the one great thing about this is, you know, our league matches were in February and March, when it's, you know, maybe -3, -4, and it's lashing rain, and it's, you know, it's cold and it's miserable and it's damp. And I suppose we're coming to the summer months now, we're in the month of May. I believe the weather is supposed to be particularly nice this weekend, 19-20 degrees, so it's a completely different game, completely different animal when you hit the summer. So we're in that summer stretch now, so as I said, we'd be hoping that a big Kilkenny crowd to come out and support the girls on Saturday as we start into the Leinster campaign.
Now, I know Johnny Weir is probably listening in to me as well above in Westmeath, and giving out to me that you're writing us off before we even do it. Well, I'm not, Johnny, because I'm asking the question out straight to see if the man is lucky to get through winning it. But no matter what I do, I can't win in this situation, chap, because I have a Westmeath man as my vice chair in Leinster, and I have you at the other side and a producer that's Kilkenny, so I'm really stuck in the middle of the whole lot. But look, it is going to be fantastic, obviously, to get the games back going again. I know you're chomping at the bit. While training is great, like you say, you can't beat a match situation and getting out there as well, and hopefully all will go well, and that the players that was out injured, that you'll be able to pull them back in for the championship, give them a bit of game time, I suppose, because obviously they've been missing that bit of contact as well. While it's great in challenge matches, you know, it's not the same as championship feel.
Yeah, absolutely, and challenge matches are great, and I suppose last Saturday morning we had an internal challenge match, and you know, I can tell you it was incredibly competitive, and a lot of girls put their hand up for a starting spot on Saturday, and that's what we want. You know, it has to come from within the group. The players have to drive it, and they absolutely are doing so. So, you know, we'll have a very difficult job in terms of picking a starting 15 for Saturday, and hopefully for the following week and the following weeks to come. And as I said to you, whoever's performing well in training, whoever's consistently performing well in training, they'll be the ones that will be starting each match first from here on in. You know, so it's as I said, when you have potentially 9 matches in 10 weeks, it's a serious load in terms of the the physicality and the fitness that's required to absorb that. But we have done a huge block of work over the last 5 or 6 months, so we're hoping that the bodies will be able to withstand that level of intensity and pressure.
When you said it to me about an internal challenge game, a thought just crossed my mind straight away to know whether those challenge games were as good as the legendary Brian Cody's challenge matches behind the closed doors that you lock 7 or 9 lumps of you-know-what out of one another.
Well, all I can say to Matt is we were very happy with the intensity and the physicality on Saturday morning. You know, the girls showed up and they came to play, and as I said to you, it was a ferocious battle, and we were really happy with that internal match. But look, that's the way it has to be, you know. I mean, girls are fighting for their positions, they're fighting for starting spots, they're fighting for opportunities to come on and get game time and play for Kilkenny, which is, you know, that's the dream and that's what everyone wants to do. So the prize is massive here, and there's huge pride and desire in these girls to want to play for Kilkenny. And you know, they know every time Kilkenny have a game, it's a fantastic honour to even be considered for selection. So there's huge intensity in training there. And say to you, that match Saturday morning was fantastic. But look, we just need to build on that and continue to keep that intensity in training, and hopefully bring that into the matches in the coming weeks.
As it's always said, that jersey has to be earned and not to be given freely either, and that's the way that you're going to do it and perform, especially at training sessions. I had to love the bit of the pause there till you find out the correct answer that you were going to give me on that one first, but a true politician as always, Mr. Clear. But no, thank you so much for joining me again. We wish yourself and the team the very best of luck over the weekend. We look forward to a great Leinster Championship. We've been following the league and they have been decent matches as well, and we've had good performances, but I think now that we come in towards the summer end of things and really getting to the cut and thrust of things, I can see good things for this Kilkenny team and for yourselves as well, and we look forward to it. So as always, for your time and for being so freely with us, thank you so much, and enjoy the games of the weekend.
Thanks, Martin. Thank you.
That was Chap Clear there, of course, our senior manager, and he's a politician as well, and sure, I suppose those legendary games in Nolan Park really are legendary for a reason, because they were only seen by a certain few and nobody actually knew what was going on in them apart from those that was on the inside. It's like that in a lot of places. When we come back, we will be discussing things all going to Fenna yesterday for our under-16s and their double victory in the A and the B Cup finals, and we're going to be chatting to the head man of the whole lot of it right after this quick break.
Carlo, Kilkenny, KCLR.
Yeah, welcome back after that quick magical break. And just like magic, I suppose, I have my next guest on the line, and that is the man who is over all things under 16 when it comes to the county in Kilkenny, and that is Mr. Canis Brennan. Canis, you must be a very happy man this evening.
Yeah, Martin, very happy after yesterday. I mean, we went down with the intention of bringing home 2 cups, and we got the 2 cups, so Great work by the girls, by all the squads yesterday, and the B's got a little bit easier than the A squad. The A squad had us biting their nails near the end there, right? But look at it, a win is a win. So we're delighted with what happened yesterday.
Championship matches always comes down to that, and I suppose the close ones really have everyone on the edge of their seats or on the edge of the line when they're there as well. But they were 2 fantastic games. I suppose all that was building up after the group sections in the game, and yourselves in Dublin had a right battle in the A game up there. They were after coming away with the victory, but the B team was up first yesterday, and they were playing in their final against Dublin as well, and like you say, a small little bit easier than maybe what would have been expected of it, but still a great way to start off the day.
Yeah, look, I mean, the B squad went in as its obvious favourites. I mean, I had little expectation that they would do well, and they pushed on really well yesterday. I mean, they started strong, and forward really good, and backs were really good as well behind them. So and they kept getting the scores, like they finished up with 213, which is a good out score. So and held Dublin to 1-8. So I mean, it's an 8-point victory. So I think they were good value for that kind of a scoreline. So they've been fantastic, though. I mean, the blend of the 16s and 15s in that team, they've really gelled well together. And we had great subs in on the sideline to bring on. You know, I mean, they're hungry for games. And yeah, very happy with the way they played now yesterday, the B squad. Well done to them. That's, I didn't realise it's not a competition we've won very often, actually, the B competition. Looking at the cup yesterday, someone pointed out that's the first time we've won it in 7 or 8 years, I think. So, side of that one.
Yeah, no, it is. It's that way all right for a while. What impressed me most yesterday was the transition from the backs and the forwards, like the cleverness that was there, apart from the skill level itself, which was very good between the hooking and the blocking. Quick ball that we were getting and intelligent ball into our forwards to leave them use it the way that they did really, really impressed me.
Yeah, look, we've been working that, the transition and getting the ball in quickly, moving the ball quickly. I mean, the level of skill that team has is phenomenal. They're very talented. I mean, put it bluntly, I mean, I'd have had no problem putting that B team out against the Dublin A team yesterday if I had to. They were, that much confidence in the way they play and their ability. So they have some dynamite forwards there. I mean, full forward line of Holly Ryan, Murray Kenny and Katie Dunphy is as good a full forward line as you get anywhere in the county under 16, and that's just the B squad, like. So I mean, fantastic altogether.
I mean, you mentioned Mirren Kenny there. She was picked out as the player of the match in that final as well. She had a decent game, like, to be able to win that accolade, even, I should say, and a great achievement for herself. It is a great team game, but individually to be able to pick up that award is nice.
Yeah, Mirren is one of the youngest people on that team. I mean, she's only 14, going on 15 this year. So I mean, it's fantastic for that she did it. But I mean, she's a very talented young lady. Very talented. I've been watching her now for the last couple of years. Very, very talented young girl, and is going to go places in Camogie, obviously, as years go on. But so, I mean, the potential around her then to support her. I mean, and it doesn't really matter. She's so strong a player on the ball. She's able to win the balls. I mean, whether it's high or low, and just very physically strong as well. So, great target woman to have in there at number 14, definitely. Yeah.
It must be tough on a day like that. I mean, to have two teams in the final, you know, yourself and the group of management is looking after the two teams as well. So you're transitioning right from the word go, from the end of the whistle for the B game, to get ready and then go in and play the cup final, the A cup final against Dublin as well. But what a battle. I mean, there was a bit of a breeze there for anyone that wasn't at the game yesterday, and ye had it in the first half and went in a couple of points ahead, playing very, very well in the first half, as it said. But I mean, the second half was just a humdinger.
Yeah, look, despite winning 1-7 to 1-1 ahead at 6 points up at half time, with that little bit of a breeze behind us, and I was a bit disappointed. We probably should have been up another 4 or 5 points because we missed a couple of frees in the first 10 minutes as well, and possibly left another goal behind us as well. So I wasn't happy with the 6 points, but I mean, we took it anyway and we just streaked things around then. And Dublin were playing with a sweeper as well. I mean, they knew they were going to play with a sweeper because they did last time, and it was we found it hard last year to break it down. We broke it down better this time in the first half. Second half we struggled a little bit again. Then in the first 20 minutes Dublin got on top for a while, but look, we made a few changed things around, freshened it up, and the last 10 minutes I the girls pushed on and we got a couple of extra scores that pushed us over the line. And I mean, we were 4 points up with 2 minutes in injury time. And I mean, fairness to the girl that took that free, I mean, it was one of the most brilliant frees I've ever seen taken by a young 16-year-old, because Owen Murphy wouldn't have saved the way she put it under the roof of the net, you know. So but look, we came out the right side of it, 1 point victory, so I'll take it.
She done it so quick. I mean, we were all looking and just thinking, okay, she's going to put it over the bar, and the next thing, the green flag was going up. She was just after rattling it like it was a screamer. You're dead right. It was an unbelievable goal.
I was down that end telling them, I knew they needed a goal, like, but if she was 35 yards out, God, if DJ Reid scored a goal like that in Croke Park, he'd be raving about it. I mean, I couldn't believe the accuracy of she actually hit the underside of the crossbar and it bounced down. It's a phenomenal shot now, in fairness. So, but look, I was hoping that stage he'd blow it up. We get one more chance and we got the ball up the field, thankfully. And look, we're lucky. We probably could have got a goal ourselves at the other end, a minute later. But look, I have to comment on the girls at the command as well. They definitely pushed on and gave us a bit more the physicality as well when we brought on a few players. So it was we needed the 20 girls yesterday to win that match, the 20 that were allowed to play. So it was just shows you that, I mean, the strength and depth was important for us now yesterday.
Yeah, you're dead right. I have to compliment your backs though as well, because when backs were to the wall and Dublin were coming at you, I mean, even the point, a couple of points up, and it looked like for a while that we might be going into extra time for a while, but all of the backs, including the goalkeeper, really stood up, like, and put their bodies on the line and put in the blocks where it mattered. And that last shot, I mean, if that goal had to go in, it was it, the deal was sealed. But we still had a nervy couple of minutes to go after that as well. But I mean, it really was a great performance, and the subs certainly made a difference. I just want to get your opinion, because obviously the rules are going to change now come next week as well, and for going forward for next year onwards, it's going to be unlimited substitutions. So I mean, the benches are really going to have a huge power to play next year when it comes to the Leinster and the All-Ireland series.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're moving now next week from 5 to 8 subs from the All-Ireland series, so we can put on our 3 subs. Look, it was warm yesterday. I mean, it was a breeze, but it was warm yesterday, and some of the girls, I mean, you could see it near the end, they had a tough game, and a couple of them, I mean, one girl got cramp, and she found it very hard to get rid of it, so we had to go away, and even though she had a fantastic game midfield. So with the last 10 minutes, we put someone on for her, and Aoife had a great game, ring back, again, hurt her knee, and you know what I mean? We're struggling as well, so we had to make a few forced substitutions as well. But like, it's I mean, we have girls joining us now, adding to the A panel next week. So like the B's are going separate ways now. The B's are either coming up to us, or they're staying with the B's, or they're going back to 15-year-olds, or going back to the under 15 development squad. So we have girls, maybe 6 to 8 girls, hopefully joining us now this week from the B squad to the A squad. So I mean, it's great that we'll be able to, maybe not for this year, but they'll be able to put on more subs next year or the year after. Like, it's great because it gives me a bit more latitude to maybe change things around. All right, yeah.
Bit of a nightmare for the poor referee though, trying to keep an eye out on the substitutes coming in, but overall it is great for player development, and hopefully we'll be able to have a chat to Linda Kenny in a future episode, just to have a chat about the playing time as well. Obviously as well, Canis, like our minors and that, and the seniors, when they finish their championship, you're going straight into an All-Ireland series, which is happening yourselves, and the trilogy is coming up next week because it is Dublin in the first round of the All-Ireland series.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're under no illusions that the match next Sunday is going to be a very tough game. Dublin are going to come back at us big time. And it's unfortunate. I'd like to have had another week to prepare, because it's just week on week. But, I mean, it is what it is. And I'd certainly be off to someone else next weekend. But it is what it is now. We have to push on and take on that Dublin team again. And I think we're going to get a little bit of a boost as well from winning yesterday. And also from the addition of the players coming up from the B squad, there's a couple of players there, phenomenal players, that are going to add to that team and give me a bit more scope to do other things as well, especially the forwards, you know what I mean? So there's a couple of different types of players I can put on now as well. So we have a few things up our sleeve as well. So, I mean, we're under no illusions it's going to be a tough match. And we're just hearing to see it today that the match is possibly going to be in Nolan Park next Sunday. So, I mean, that's an added boost for the girls to get to play in the centre of excellence in Kilkenny. So it'd be fantastic for the girls to play in Nolan Park, hopefully, next Sunday.
It certainly would, yeah. I just heard that today, like, that it could be part of a double header with the minor hurling game, which would be absolutely phenomenal, because I think they're playing Dublin as well in the hurlers. That's what we like to see, a bit of cooperation, and it's obviously good for the girls as well. But you're dead right, I think a bit of momentum going into this game, certainly ye have the upper hand from what was seen yesterday into it, but obviously for an All-Ireland series and a group game, it's good to get a good start and a win under your belt.
Oh yeah, look, we'll be pushing on. I mean last year, unfortunately, we lost our first 3 games, and it was disappointing, you know, after winning the Leinster final last year. So we're trying to avoid that this year, so starting to get off on a positive footing, because, I mean, obviously, if you start winning games, it goes to the team, the positivity that goes to the team, and it's a great thing to have there. When you start losing a few games, then there's a bit of little worry comes into it then, and maybe if the players, because time is running out at that stage. So that's what happened last year. But look at them, I'm quite positive that we can push on and take on. We have Dublin next week again, Limerick to follow again, and then Galway after that again. So look at them, I'm positive enough about the next 3 weeks. Hopefully we can do a job on the 3 weekends and get over the line.
Talk about a trifesto of tough games in your first 3 games. But no doubt all these girls will relish that opportunity, and I know that ye will as well. Canis, congratulations yesterday to yourself, the management team, and all of the girls involved in the A and the B team. It really was a spectacular day to be up in Fenny yesterday watching some brilliant Camogie players in it, and we know that the future is certainly bright for Kilkenny Stars anyway going forward. It really was great to see it, and to yourself and all the girls going forward for the All-Ireland series, we look forward to following it, and hopefully we'll be having a chat to you after a victory at the weekend.
Absolutely, Martin. I just wanted to make one last comment. We lost we lost one of our main players from last year as well, Emily Cooney. She'd done a cruise year 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, Emily was a big, huge loss to us. And she has to go for surgery, and she's gone till next year. So, I mean, she was there in the side, it happens out. So, I mean, I want to wish Emily the best. And she was there on the team last year, and she would have been on the team this year more than likely. And so it's unfortunate to lose a player like that. And just these things happen. But look, we wish from all the management of the team, we wish Emily all the best in her recovery. And she'll be with us on the sidelines at the end anyway, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, well, we're the same here from everybody in Come On Kind. We certainly wish Emily the best. I suppose when you look at what happened to Peter Casey yesterday and the line of playing a game as well, you know, it really hits home when these things happen with your squad. And obviously it does affect him to a certain degree, but it can also go the opposite direction and, you know, make them tighter and bring him on and, I suppose, give him momentum to do it for their injured comrade as well. So.
We used that as we were the fuel yesterday.
No doubt. So, yeah, the very best of luck to Emily in her recovery. And hopefully she'll be back on the field to play with everybody else in the next, I won't say few months, because it does take a while to get it done. But, yeah, as soon as she is all better again, absolutely, she'll be back. Yeah. Canis, again, once again, thanks a million. Enjoy the games at the weekend and the best of luck to yourself and to all the girls.
Thank you very much, Martin.
That was Canis Brennan there, the manager of the Kilkenny under 16 and the B's, A's and B's even, after their fabulous victories over the weekend in Fenna. And I sincerely have to thank Brian O'Neill and all of the Carlow GAA crew there for giving us the use of Fenna, and to everybody involved in Port Leash as well in Rath League, especially to JP and to Billy. Up in Fanny yesterday as well. Without the likes of those people, we could not play matches. Seven finals we had over the weekend. We started early on Saturday morning, where Leash and Carlow went and took on one another in the plate final. First ever a kind of a final for either of the two teams, and it was a cracker. And Carlow is supposed to be disappointed a little bit, but they played their heart out. They were open, they were down, and then they were open, went ahead by a goal, and I thought they might push it on a small little bit, but just in the end got pipped at the end of it. But they really did put in a brave battle, and well done to Anthony and to Davey and all the crew up there in Carlow, because it was great. And it was just a pity that it wasn't the other end of the spectrum to have the result in it, but a great performance overall. Then I went from there to Port Leash, where we had excellent Shield finals in the A, the B and the C Shield finals, with Wexford coming along and winning the A final against Offaly. We had Meath coming along and winning the C final against Wicklow, and that was a cracking game as well, right up to the goalkeeper pulling off three brilliant saves for Meath, because Wicklow was really tearing into him towards the end. And then only 3 points in it, with Kildare getting to a Shield and a Cup final over the weekend. But Westmeath, they're on a high at the minute, and Johnny Weir missed it. Of course, the day that he wouldn't be in Port Leash, Westmeath win. I don't know whether that's a good sign or a bad sign for poor Johnny. He knows I'm only taking the mickey out of him anyway. But yeah, good victory there for Westmeath. And as we said yesterday then, poor Kildare in the Cup final yesterday. It was a tough day at the office. But Dublin, with three teams in the A, the B and the C Cup finals yesterday, they went home with one victory out of the three, because they did beat Kildare in that C final, and Kilkenny winning the A and the B final in what was a magnificent weekend. And thank you so much to all of my colleagues in the Leinster Council as well, especially to Kira and to Sheila and to Anne and to Elma and to Ailish and poor Johnny in the background, because he was away at the weekend, for all of the hard work that's been done there. So thank you so much to everybody. Obviously there was minor matches going on at the weekend as well in UPMC Nolan Park, where the Shield final between Dublin and Wexford was taking place, and that ended in a draw. And it's going to a replay this weekend, would you believe it, in Netwatch Cullen Park on Sunday at 2 o'clock. And we are all going to be looking forward to it. And our neighbours down the road in Waterford, unfortunately, losing out to Tipperary in that final. Final scoreline there was 2-9 to 10 points. The Dublin and Wexford one was 1-9 to 2-6. Tyrone coming away with a big victory in the C final over Mayo. So the Red Hand of Ulster up there is certainly going very, very well in Camogie circles. And I obviously couldn't be in two places at the weekend, but my wonderful producer, who I did say was going to be joining us a short time ago, was actually in Nolan Park. And It was a great day of camogie there as well, Mrs. Houlihan.
It was, Mr. Quilty, and you forgot to mention that Westmeath won the Minor B Shield on Saturday.
Sorry,
as well.
I couldn't read your writing in that one. I was
well,
so squashed up.
If you hadn't to snap it out of my hands, I'd have read it out
Excuse
myself.
Excuse me, I didn't snap it. I picked it up off the table, the cheek of you.
But anyway, Westmeath beat Meath 4-11 to 2-7. But the two matches in Nolan Park were...
Actually, I wonder was Johnny Weir that one as well, because if he wasn't, he really is a jinx if he turns up.
Well, if he turns up to the next Westmeath match and they lose, he'll be lynched. But
sorry, Johnny. Yeah, well, congratulations to Westmeath. They're well done. Brilliant.
Yeah, we
victory.
Had two crackers in Nolan Park on Saturday. The first one was Dublin and Wexford. That started at 2:30. Both matches, I have to say, exceedingly well attended. There was a tremendous crowd for both matches, and some of the people that came for the first match actually stayed for the second match as well, which was good to see.
Why
wouldn't you? Exactly. Why wouldn't you? But there were great matches. Wexford, I'd say, were probably they had a brilliant first half. They were flying at, I can't remember what the halftime score was, but I think they were 5 or 6 points ahead at halftime, if I'm not mistaken. But Dublin came out in the second half and they put it up to them, and it was brilliant.
Yeah, which we knew it was going to be close,
a cracker. The second match then we had Tipperary and Waterford, and to be fair, I think the whole build up hit Waterford. They were like a different team, and I've seen them a couple of times this year.
Yeah, listen, disappointment for them, because I don't think they really got going. Was it 14 or 15 minutes, I think, before they got their first score?
14 minutes exactly, their first score from a free.
Disappointment for themselves, because they were there before. You know, it's a pity.
It is a pity. But our Tipperary were exceptional.
Tipperary are on a high at the minute.
They're on a high, but they had some excellent players. Like Sarah Corcoran got player of the match. She plays number 6. She held the line the whole day. There was nothing went in by her. She was just phenomenal and kept their shape. Cuiva Stakelam. Wow.
Now, I know Dennis Kelly was on here a couple of weeks ago and he said that they're not pulling him anywhere, but by all accounts, from yourself and from Paula, who was at the match as well at the weekend, this young lady is a talent.
Martin, she caught ball. She had no business putting her hand in for, let alone coming out with it. She's just, and her wrist work, her stick work, exceptional.
From what I can gather, and I hope I'm right on this, she's actually minor again next year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think so.
I didn't know that now.
I could be mistaken, but I'm 100% sure that somebody told me over the weekend that young lady is minor again next year.
I kind of zoned in on her on Saturday because I couldn't see the number from where I was.
Actually,
for a while,
I know who. Do you know who taught me? Former chairman of the CCAO.
Oh.
I was chatting to him in Fenna yesterday, and he told me, actually. You're only 100% sure of that now.
God, if she has another year minor.
I know, it's scary, isn't it?
She's just, yeah, her stick work, she's just a pleasure to watch and makes it all look so effortless. But yeah, there were two crackers of matches now. They really were. And great, like I said, really well supported. We weren't blessed with the day. There was a couple of showers of rain in it. But to be fair to Kevin and Christy and John Coogan, the pitch was in immaculate condition.
I have to say the pitches around, I mean, even the ones in Port Leash at the weekend, for what rain is after falling.
It's after falling. I couldn't get over the...
I was in Bunclody. Now, it poured rain down on top of me in Bunclody and all the Leash, and there were Carlow players as well on Saturday morning. And I went from there up to sunshine in Port Leash. Totally different day altogether, but I couldn't get over the pitches. And even the ones in Fenna yesterday, from all the rain is after falling. I mean, all the ground staff has done so much good work.
Oh, they're after phenomenal work. But the pitch, Nolan Park was exceptionally good.
Which, in fairness, they won pitch of the year. Was it 2 or 3 years in a row?
But everyone was very complimentary, which was unfortunate. Second year that they're in Nolan Park and we didn't have Kilkenny representation, but c'est la vie. But everybody was very complimentary on the venue, and wasn't it exceptionally good that they were playing the finals in a county grounds, and that was the big...
I said it before, Nolan Park is probably
the best,
the nicest
yes.
venue for finals like that, because you're close to the pitch, you haven't got huge big on stadiums, you know, that you're 40 or 50,000 that you can put into them and people are lost
in it. I think
it's
intimate is the word you're looking
for. Yes, intimate.
Yes, yeah. But it was, they were all exceptionally complimentary about the stewarding and the facilities and how easy it was to get in and out of it. And we did have a big crowd, but everything ran smoothly, thankfully.
Yeah.
I should actually thank John Byrne.
JB is great.
Yeah, he was excellent on Saturday.
Head event controller is always in UPMC Nolan Park.
And he's
with his deputy here beside her. And I heard you were all right on the PA as well.
I was laughing because you were always giving out to me when you're trying to do interviews and I'm telling people to get off the pitch. So I was laughing at one stage and John said to me, "What's so funny?" I said, "If Martin was here now, I'd be getting a phone call telling me shut up."
Well, actually, there was people, I heard it afterwards, I think it was either Tipperary Camogie or someone put up a couple of videos that they were getting.
They did, yeah. And
lo and behold, who was in the background? And I said to myself, things will never change there, so they won't. But,
well, sure, look, you have to do what you have,
to do. Yeah, no, but it is great, and well done to everybody involved. But yeah, it's great to get into county grounds somewhere like that and intimate county grounds like Netwatch Dr. Colin Park is the very same.
It's the very same, yeah.
You know, it's nice. I haven't been in Connacht's new one yet because it's not completed, but that looks like it's going to be a decent venue as well. But look, we're looking forward to different things. Obviously, we haven't Anya coming up for the weekend, but the seniors, as we heard from Chap earlier on, are going to be taking on Westmeath. We think it's going to be probably John Locke Park
and Callan. I think there's
Bruce
something
has on. The whole place locked up.
No, I think there's something else on in it. I'm not 100% sure.
Bruce isn't coming
for 2 weeks.
Well, actually, they're closing Crow Park for 2 weeks because I was checking it out as well to see if there was a possibility of Leinster funding.
No, I think the park is closed from Monday because there's a minor hurling on Sunday in it. And I think the Kilkenny under-16s could be in it as well.
Yeah, we heard Canis there. So if that happened, it would actually be fantastic.
Well, sure, look, they're playing Dublin. Why wouldn't they? She could have family members on both minor and under-16. And why not bring a crowd?
Makes sense.
Absolutely.
So it does. And we're all about sense. But yeah, that quarter-final is going ahead at the weekend. That is Kilkenny and Westmeath in the senior quarter-final.
That'll be a cracker of a match now. Westmeath are always hard to beat.
Do you remember the last day we were in Westmeath?
We were in Westmeath. Sure, they only won by the skin of their teeth in the end. Yeah. They come out fighting and they have some fabulous hurlers.
Of course they have. But they're after winning the league title. They beat the favourites Derry.
Yes.
Their minors is after winning a game at the weekend in a All-Ireland final. You know,
they're under-16s won something,
so they're under-16s beat Kildare.
But people are inclined to write off the lesser known counties, and the lesser known counties are doing great work in the background and they're training every bit as hard as the well known counties. So I can see that being a good cracker of a match. And Callan is a lovely venue for a match as well.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. The other quarter final in that is obviously Dublin and Meath. That is going, and that's in Dublin. It's actually part of a double header because Dublin's B team, the Dublin Intermediate team, is actually out in that championship as well.
Well, that's right. They're out this weekend. Our intermediates have a bye till next weekend.
And they're playing Carlow. Our intermediates have a bye. But yes, Dublin Intermediates, it's part of a double header in St Peregrine's GAA club.
Oh, that's a nice ground as well.
Dublin. Nice stand there as well.
There's a nice stand in it, there is.
I think we actually played an All-Ireland final, if I'm not mistaken, in it all those years ago. I'm nearly 90% sure.
An All-Ireland juvenile final.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we played a minor final in it.
It's something, I think, in it anyway. But yeah, the senior one, they have a 2 o'clock throw-in. So Dublin and Meath. Dublin is a 3 o'clock throw-in because it's part of a double header. That one is in Peregrine's. Dublin Intermediates taking on Carlow in that game. Now, Carlow will hoping to be getting a good run in. The other game then sees Laois and Wicklow actually in O'Moore Park.
Now, that'll be a tough battle because Wicklow are going well at all grades as well, aren't they?
Wicklow are going well.
That's not to say Laois aren't going well, because Laois are going well at all grades, but Wicklow are kind of a dark horse, aren't they?
They are. I think that they're after coming up from junior level, so I think it might be a step too far. Yeah,
for them,
at the minute.
Yeah.
Because Laois are probably that little bit ahead, but the interesting one that I'm going to be keeping an eye on is obviously Wexford and Kildare.
Wexford Intermediate team against Kildare. So that's actually taking part in Belfield, GAA in Enniscorthy, and that has a 2 o'clock throw-in, and Leash and Wicklow has a 2 o'clock throw-in. And we want to wish Paddy O'Reilly, who's actually refereeing that one, the very best of luck.
Oh, good man, Paddy.
There, so, and also Pat Murphy of Carlow is out on duty as well. He's going to be doing Wexford and Kildare. And
Wexford and Kildare won't be easy now either, because Kildare will have a point to prove, having not played any championship last year.
Yeah, exactly.
And they want to be showing what they're made of. And Wexford will be expecting to win that at home. So that...
Well, they'll give it a good rattle.
They'll give it a good rattle, yeah.
And Liz Dempsey is then in Peregrines herself, because she's going to be doing doubling and meet in that senior quarter final as well. And semi-finals then will be played the following weekend at home, but we'll get to them hopefully
Liz
after...
Liz actually, sorry to cut across you, Liz did standby referee for the second match on Saturday.
And she was in Fenn on Sunday.
And she was the only female official on duty at the weekend.
She's the only female,
she's the only female
well,
in county.
She's the only female referee from what I can gather. We have a few support females.
Yeah, because there was a couple of support.
There was a female from Galway today that we was
yeah.
in. Yeah, and I think there's a lady from Clare that does it as well. I think the girl of the Bakers that was in Tyrone is not actually doing it at the minute, because I thought she was actually very good the last day
she was
in Callum.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, we need more officials. There is the female academy that will be starting up very, very soon. But all those games are obviously on the weekend. The minors are over, apart from the Shield final. As I said, Dublin and Wexford, that's going to be in Netwatch Cullen Park.
That's
at the
2 o'clock on
That is 2 o'clock on
Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah.
So a cracking game is going to be in store there. The under 16 C championship kicks off, and I'm just going to go down through them as we are here. Myself and Lillian were talking about it, because we haven't got Anya here, we're not really going to give predictions or anything on games.
No, I don't think I'm okay enough to be given predictions, and I don't want to.
Do you know something though, if you picked them, you might do a little bit better than maybe Anya does, and she's going to kill me for that now at some stage.
Oh, you're in deep trouble.
I know,
you're in deep
but
trouble.
It's a lottery, you know, especially at underage games, because you can never predict anything when it comes to it. But
true.
Mayo and Donegal kicks off the under-16 championship. That is in Castlebar Mitchell's GAA at 2 o'clock. And just as I say it, we have a female referee on it, and that is Orla Donnelly. We wish her the very best of luck to it. Dublin and Wexford, I do know who's refereeing it, but I'm not going to say out loud because I can't, but hasn't been announced yet. The very best of luck to our officials in that one. It is in Netwatch Cullen Park in Carlow. That game has a 2 o'clock throw-in. Then the under-16 C championship is Cavan and Louth in Dr. Plunkett Memorial Park in Kilnaleck.
Where's Kilnaleck?
It's in Cavan somewhere. Must
oh,
be,
it is,
because
it's a home venue.
Home
for
venue.
At the rate that Louth are after going, because I'm after seeing Louth popping up a few times for different matches this weekend, I'd probably go with Louth for this one, because they did win and an under 14, I think, and an under 15 over the weekend.
Yeah,
they
were unlucky not to be in the under 16 finals. I think they were beaten on score difference in some
so
of them.
So at underage, they're going pretty well.
Yeah.
So I'd probably pick, sorry Anya, I'd probably pick Louth for that.
And that team is managed, of course, by another former president of the CCAO, Shane Darcy.
Very nice.
Who's a good, knowledgeable camogie person. So Francis Caldwell is in the middle for that one. Under-16 C Championship Round 1, Tyrone and Wicklow is in Broca. Now, there's a name that I have never heard of before. But Tyrone flying at the minute. Although Wicklow are doing very well at underage level. They were out in the Shield competition, as we saw, against Meath. I was very impressed by a couple of they are players that was very, very skillful, I have to say. So that one is going to be a cracker.
But then Tyrone are coming off the back of winning.
They are,
Tyrone
and it's
win
home.
A minor, and it's home.
It's home for Tyrone. You know, you can't beat places like that. Simon Redmond, Dublin, is the match official on that one. Kerry and Kildare in the B Championship. The 2K is 2 o'clock. No venue. Joseph Mullins is the man in the middle for that one. Under-16 B Championship is Leash and Armagh. A carbon copy of the league final that Armagh just pipped Leash by. It's in the centre of excellence there, just beside O'Moore Park, and the referee for that is Colm Vaughan. Cork and Galway in the A Championship is in the Cork Camogie grounds, and our own Liz Dempsey is going down to do that.
Now
she'll be busy.
That's a long trot down for Galway, isn't it?
Ah, short enough spin. With motorways and all, it wouldn't be that bad.
I don't know, is there much waterway down to there now? But anyway, there probably is down to Limerick and across there.
Ah, yeah, you could probably do it a bit, but it's going
Wexford
to be a
Wexford and Antrim is going to be a bigger trot.
Wexford and Antrim is a home, well, there's no venue at the minute. It could be a home game for Wexford or it could be a halfway house, but Max Malloy is the man in the middle for that one. The Shield A competition has Derry and Offaly. Again, no venue on this one, but it has a 2 o'clock throw-in and it's Gavin Dunnigan, the man who refereed the Minor All-Ireland
final.
He did
a tremendous job in the Minor All-Ireland final. He really did now. To answer your question, Broca is in, it's on the shores of Loch Ness. It's 7 kilometres from Coal Island.
See, that's why she's such a wonderful producer. She's able to give me wonderful
useless
facts
information.
Like that. Well, it's not useless. It's always
no. Gavin
nice.
Did a tremendous job, I thought, on Saturday. He let now some of the spectators might have been happy with him, but he blew what needed to be blown and he left it go. It's not we're not out for afternoon tea. We're out to play Camogie.
The people gives out if he blows the whistle for everything,
yeah.
and
then they give out
when
he's
not blowing
blow
the whistle. So
yes.
no matter
so
what goes on,
win.
No, the referee
you
will
can't
never win.
But I thought he left it flow. He blew what was essential to blow, and he let the game flow. And I thought he did an excellent job, as did his
officials.
Yeah.
No, well, we as I said, and I had choice words with a few people in the supporting crowd as well over the weekend. We can't play matches without our
them.
Officials.
And leave them do their job.
So they can give out all they want.
If you're not prepared to hang a little whistle around your neck and do the job yourself, well then doing the veil.
Well, would you believe it? That was actually part of my speech and I told him out straight that if they wanted to be better and think they could do better, go do the course, come back next year. We'll give them the job of going out and doing it and seeing
and I have to say the
like.
Amount of people that are going to matches and coaching Camogie and don't know the rules is frightening.
I still say it, and I'm saying this for the GAA with a long time, that, I mean, if you're a coach in Camogie, and I'm going to get lambasted for this, but I don't care. If you're a coach in Camogie, you have to have your Garda Vetting, your Safeguarding 1 course, your foundation level course before you can go
minimum.
Out and coach.
Yes.
Right?
You should also have a...
I still think you should be made do the referee's rules test before you do and be left to do a coach, and that's across
I'm
the board
not
up to adults.
With you. I'm not disagreeing.
And the lads tell me I've lost the plot, but anyway.
Well, you have, but I don't think you've lost the plot there now.
Where was I? I was in the Shield.
I apologise, you were at
Tipperary and
Limerick.
Under 16A first round. That's in the Rag and Thurles. That's going to be a tight affair.
It is going to be a tight affair now because both of them are going very well.
Well, Tipperary are on a high. Limerick were just pipped by Dublin in the Minor A
Shield.
And Limerick won the Minor A Shield last year, beating Antrim
yeah.
in Nolan Park as well. So they will certainly be. The Kilkennians, Dublin, provisionally, as we say, in UPMC Nolan Park, which if it was the case, it would be magnificent. It is down for 2 o'clock now. Whether that will change timing-wise because of the
It'll
hurling?
It'll have to change because the hurling, I think, is down for 1:30. So you're probably talking about 3:30, are you?
Unless they go with that afterwards. So we'll have to wait and see what the story is there.
Well, unless they put the Camogie first. And
Jenny, I don't know that put it very early.
Well, they could put the Camogie first at 1:30 and put the hurling to 3:30.
They might do that either, yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
Wait
keep
and
an
see.
Eye on it. Under 16A Shield then completing the lineup for this weekend is Clare and Waterford down in Father McNamara Park in Ennis and Michael Ryan. Now, I don't know, is that Michael Ryan of Tipperary or Michael Ryan of Galway? Because we have two Michael Ryans. One goes by Mike and one goes by
yeah.
Michael. But either way, Michael Ryan is the man in the middle there. And Waterford travelling down to Clare in an A Shield competition that is going, I suppose, for both of them, they could do with doing well at this age group.
They could, yeah. They could.
But they do. And there's great work being put in all around. Obviously, the new rules comes into being for next week, both playing and when it comes to the other...
So the subs now for Championship are 8 subs, is it?
The subs for Championship is 8. It's going to unlimited from next year onwards.
But
I
even
think.
Going up from 5 to 8 for Championship is
it's a huge help. Yeah,
it is. Especially as Kenna said, when you have enforced substitutions.
But you're using 23 players then instead
exactly.
of maybe 20, and you know it gives you that extra bit
gives
because
extra
if it is a hot
bit.
Day, you have 3 extra subs that you
and
can use.
And you could
use.
See it the last day. What match were we at recently? And it was the minor semi final in Rathdowney. Sure, like after all
yeah,
the rain and
one,
the cold,
yeah.
it was you'd roast at it.
Yeah.
So it does make a difference. And what are the other new playing rules now? Just refresh my memory.
Ah, Janie, why are you asking me something that I can't tell you what day today is? It's been that kind of a day.
Well, sure,
do you know something? They're going to come in next Tuesday. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a list of them, because I know I have an email there somewhere about them for next week, and we will give them all out. Exact. Although we might not, because the 17 pages long of different things.
Oh, is there?
There is.
That could explain why I didn't read it.
Well, the sideline cut, obviously, before, if you were too close.
Oh, we had one of those on Saturday as well.
A sideline.
A sideline.
Yeah, but...
But everybody missed it.
Yeah, but no. What I'm on about is the sideline cut is too close to one another. It's now a retake.
It's now a retake.
Right, what is it? Currently, as it stands, it's a retake, but that's going to be a free.
No, but there was actually a score from a sideline cut by a Tipperary player on Saturday. And, like, the last time it happened, I thought it was wide as well. I was having technical difficulties with the scoreboard at the time, so I missed it anyway. And one of the officials messaged across to me that there was 2 points on the board, and I said, where did the 2 points? Because I knew there wasn't 2 points scored. Points.
I think we nearly have to decide that we're going to need a new flag.
I think we need a new flag, because it was
the signal is basically, does anyone watch AFL?
Yeah, it's
or even American football.
Yeah.
But some of them, while it's supposed to be like a field goal that you put your two hands up over your head to indicate that it is a 2 points, and there's no flag then wove. Or waved, or whatever way you want to put it. But some fellas kind of put their hands outstretched a little bit as if they're given a wide ball, and you don't know, and then the crowd don't know.
But from a distance, if you're looking at it in a hurry, it's very hard to decipher. I thought long ago they used to wave both flags if it was...
No.
What's the both? The both flags as if they're... No, they cross both flags.
They cross the flags if it's a disallowed score.
If it's a disallowed score.
But before, when the trying rules was done, especially in the GAA, and this came up, there was a red flag for 2 points as a line ball. The white was the 1 point, and the green was obviously the goals. So it may be something that we need to look at.
I think they need to look at it now, because it was very confusing. And the person that was in to me, I thought they were from the opposition, but they actually weren't. They were from that team, and they didn't understand what the 2 points was about. But then it comes down to not knowing
there's
the rules
a lot of people
again.
Don't even know there is 2 points for a sideline. Let's be fair.
A lot of people don't know. No, they don't. But I mean, I think that the delivery of the 2 points needs to be changed. Like, we need a definite sign, because some of them. Yeah, it was very confusing. And from the distance, and you know how bad my eyesight is, it was very confusing.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Right, for somebody who we didn't think that we were going to get through an awful lot because Anya wasn't here, well, we've had three interviews as well today. So my thanks to Rob O'Neill earlier on, the Kildare manager, to Peter Chapclear, the Kilkenny senior manager, and to Candice Brennan, the under-16 manager. We have waffled on a small little bit, but it's important that we give the results and the fixtures of everything that's coming up this weekend.
Speak for yourself. I don't waffle.
You do an awful lot of waffling. See, she's even laughing at me now because she knows that I'm right. Anyway, that is about it. We're going to wrap things up here from the studios here in KCLR. Hopefully, we will have Anya back to ramble on a little bit.
She had something she couldn't get.
Yeah,
out,
no.
So
we can get a few more predictions, and hopefully she'll be back. Because as far as I know, we are doing the senior match live at the weekend as well, which will be good, and you'll be able to tune into ourselves and have a listen to it. But from the nice warmth of the studios here in KCLR, from my wonderful producer who's normally in the background handing paper on the microphone. I'm not looking for anything. You stepped into the breach again. Thank you kindly.
You're very welcome.
From herself with the pink glasses to myself here in
KCLR. Don't be disrespecting my pink glasses.
Disrespecting them. Everybody says that they can actually see you before they even hear you at this stage.
Most people think they can hear me before they see me. But
well, it's the opposite way around now. But anyway, from this is what goes on the whole time. I try to end up, you see, and then she batters on and we're still going. From myself and Lillian here in KCLR, from the two of us, we are saying goodnight, and until next week, enjoy your sport at the weekend.
And turn out for the matches, please.
See? Anyway, what do we say now?
God bless and good night.
She's riding it. She's taking it. Goal for Kilkenny. It's in the net.
They're matching the physicality wise, and they're going to do every ball there.
Outstanding game. 2 points from play so far. This pace.
A good day at the office there. You know, she popped up with a very much needed point, which Kilkenny really needs it.
This is Come On Kind with Martin Quilty and Anya Fahey.